I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good, my friend.
Let's just start with how you guys came together, the group of you guys. Bruce McGrew from Winfield. You got Brian Batman from Buffalo.
How we came together, gosh, I guess it was just I finally saw the proposal or the whole package of what they put out. Coach Osborne had seen it prior to me and had told me about it, and then when I started looking through it, I saw what it did to the various schools. And Batman, although he coaches at Buffalo, teaches at Winfield. So that was just, it was just natural when we started talking about it. Initially, it was just talking back and forth, and it grew from that to us starting to look into things. We had a meeting of interested parents, community people, and it's just continued on like that.
Well, when you look at instead of the enrollment, which was the initial process for figuring out classes, now they've broken it down to this 70% enrollment, 10% of county seat, 10% of how close school is to cities with populations more than 10,000, and then 10% economics. What are the biggest issues with this criteria, and how does it affect those schools in Putnam County the most?
All right, I'm gonna say something, and you take it any way you want. Okay.
All right.
Okay. I anything I say, I don't mean this personally about anybody. I don't dislike the people at the SSAC. I don't like the main people that are involved with the formula. That doesn't have anything to do with it. Nothing personal. It's simply what they've done, why they've done it, and how they've done it. That's the issues. And I think Ryan even asked me one time, or he asked all of us, would you have gotten involved in it if it hadn't affected your school so much? And for me personally, for being around so long, as soon as I saw it, it bothered me. And matter of fact, Coach Osborne and I, he's the one that sent it to me and told me about it. And that's when we basically laughed because we thought it was somebody just putting something out there, you know, not from the SSAC, but from someplace else, just putting it out there to be looked at.
Yeah.
Just nothing official. And then we found out it was, or I found out it was them. And so it, for me, yes, it was a problem for all the reasons I said. Now, what was your question?
Well, I think you nailed it. Criteria. So affecting Putnam County, I mean, you know, and a lot of people point to, obviously, from a competition standpoint, from Class A with private schools, and private schools proposed initially in 2018 to move up.
You're going to get some insight that Ryan didn't even have at the time. First of all, and this is hard to explain, so I don't know if you can follow the bouncing ball or not, because they had what they called a competition committee of what did the guy call it? I've got some inside sources, but I can't reveal them. Competitive balance committee. They had a competitive balance committee made up of I guess some administrators. I don't know who all made it up, but they had that committee.
Right.
The head of the committee was Mr. Kelly at principal at Hoover. And they came back to this competitive, now the Competitive Balance Committee, you got to understand, is made up of, you know, schools in the SSAC. So they come back with this formula thing. And the formula thing has, at first, it comes back enrollment, location, economics. That's all it had in there. All right. So then, at the end, they came back to the Competitive Balance Committee, and they had enrollment, location one, location two, and economics. Now, if you have the information in front of you and can read across the lines and the figures, which, and I keep mentioning Ryan, but Ryan has it. You will see that I'm thinking that initially the formula didn't do what they needed done. So they added that second location. And the second location was how close you are to a county seat. Well, when they come into the committee and said, we're adding this, some of the people in the committee said, you know, why, what difference does it make, And it was kind of, okay. They didn't vote. That, you know, they just, okay. Well, if you look at it, every one of the private schools have a 1.00 for how close you are to a county seat, which would dramatically raise them as far as the formula is concerned. And quite frankly, I think initially Winfield was in 3A until they added the other location thing, county seat, which nobody has a clue, and there is none, as to reasoning why it would be included.
Right.
So it was, in other words, it was done like this. They had a formula. They did, and I'm going to get what the formula, I'm going to get what the schools looked like prior to and what they looked after they got done. But they went back, and I told, you know, if you got a math guy, you got to say, well, we're not getting where we want to get with this. Let's think of something else we can do. And that's when they added the county seats, and that's what I think drove some of these schools up, and it did drive Winfield into 4A.
Yeah.
So that was a little something that wasn't part of the article. And something else to the Competitive Balance Committee, the group that did supposedly did this, they really didn't do it. The math person did it, but there was never any mention of just basketball being a pilot program.
Yeah.
They assumed that it was go forward with everything.
Right.
And that's another thing that a lot of people don't know. But if you look, and I'll send you this, I'll take a picture of it and send it to you. But if you look at the SSAC's period ending June 30th, 2018, expenses and income and stuff. All right, basketball cleared almost $400,000. Basketball tournament play.
Yeah.
The next nearest one is football with $188,510,000. Almost $2,000 different, or $200,000 difference in revenue. And then let's drop down and grab baseball. baseball only netted 23,000. So, yeah, they can say we just did it in basketball, yeah, we make a little money for basketball. They make a bunch of money from basketball.
Yeah.
And to me, if they were going to try something, we've always said, you know, I said initially, if it's good enough, roll with it and everything. Let's go. Let's do it.
Yeah.
But I think Mr. Dolan's comment about why they didn't was some kind of unforeseen, we're worried about some unforeseen circumstances. Well, what's going to happen in basketball at the Civic Center? Is the clock going to fall on the floor? Is the lights going to go out? There's nothing going to happen. They're going to add another day. It's going to be fine. And they're going to make a bunch more money in the sport they make the most money in.
Yeah.
Now, if you do it in an outdoor sport, you know, weather comes in. Let's say that if they'd had four classes up there at the state baseball tournament, they'd still be playing. I do understand why they're doing it in basketball. It's revenue. It's the class. Some of the Class A principals have got a foothold on the board of directors for the SSAC. A lot of people in Class A and so have trouble with the private schools. So you put all of it together. It's why they did it. I mean, there's no other reason. I mean, if they want four classes, I'll do four classes. Take all the schools from 1,100 up and put them in a mega class. Leave out the bottom four or five schools that have very few numbers. Take the rest of the schools, divide them by three, and I've got enrollment figures close, and I haven't disturbed travel as far as people are still going to have local rivalries. And you'll say, well, there's only about 23 or 24 tripleways, and most of them would get into playoffs. Well, my God, they're all getting into playoffs anyway. Who cares? And with the new formula, there's going to be the same number in AAA and AA as there is in the regular class AAA right now. So it's all going to be watered down. But we don't need four classes.
Yeah. Well,
and when you take, let's say you did four classes. You're going to tell me that you're going to start basketball tournament on Tuesday for boys and girls. You're going to add one more day to baseball. Volleyball goes back to Tuesday because it takes almost the whole week. You start adding these days up that you have this. That's a lot of days out. I don't see how they can do four classes without doing quarterfinals at home sites.
Yeah.
It's just going to take too much time.
Yeah.
It's going to be too cumbersome.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that's just me. And believe me, I'm just speaking for me. I'm not saying I'm all right, but I know I'm a long ways from all wrong. So.
Well, that's always good. But, yeah, I agree with you with the I was going to get into that, and I'm glad you went into that, the financials of or the finances of basketball, adding that. That extra day obviously adds expenses to travel costs for schools as well, and not just that, but the parents and everybody in combinations, and something I guess SSAC didn't really think of, but you drive a great point there, the fact that basketball makes so much money. Of course, they're going to add another day to the state tournament because it just means more money for them. And then, you know, I know Coach Osborne was talking about POCA staying in the same class. Everybody else would move. So, therefore, travel and accommodations on their side would also affect them. So that's more money out of their pocket, which we know the public school system can't take any more hits as far as that's concerned. And then the one thing that also jumped out to me was the vote of the proposal initially by the principals, which accounted for only about 48% of participation from principals, but also the fact that there were middle school principals in the vote.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That makes about as much sense as when the legislature votes, them calling me and giving me a vote.
Right.
Let me tell you something. When they put that up there for the principals, when they put that formula up there for the principals before they had a vote, Mr. McGrew will tell you that eyes were just rolling because nobody had a clue what they were putting up there. They were just firing it up there. Here's the formula. Here's what we're going by. And nobody understood it. But as far as what it does for, if it would go into effect for Polk and Buffalo, it becomes a, you know, there's no opponents around.
Yeah.
You're taking football, Charleston Catholic in the new proposal is double A. They don't have football. St. Joe in the new proposal is double A. They don't have football. So, you know, Polk and Buffalo, I guess, play each other. And then they go to Mingo, Chapmansville, and then wherever in the world it takes them. You can't sustain an athletic program like that.
Yeah.
But I want to go back to, it really bothers me that the second location part of the formula was added after that committee. And I'm not talking about the SSAC Board of Directors. I'm talking about the committee that worked on this, that Mr. Kelly headed, came back with and had added the additional location thing about county seats. Because if you look at it, and I got the papers right in front of me, if you look at it, every private school with how close you are to the county seat gives them the highest point value possible, 1.0. They're the only ones in A or double A that have, in the new classification, that have a 1.0 for location two, which is county seat. They're the only ones. Which tells me in the initial formula, it didn't move them up as far as they wanted them moved up.
Yeah.
And so, Winfield was caught in that when they did that with those folks. Like I said, how they did it. I mean, it's almost like, again, you know, you go home, you work something out, you bring it up. This looks pretty good, but it doesn't do everything we want to do. It looks to me almost like, I think they know they can't do it. I think they want to play basketball for 2 years, make a bunch more money, let a couple other teams win a state championship, and move on.
Yeah.
I really don't. Or are they going to put all the other sports in a hat and draw one out and say, oh, now it's time to do it in baseball. Now's the time to do it in softball. I mean, there's no foresight as to down the road what this means. And to have kids in one school playing basketball in one class and all the rest of the sports in another class, and there's several schools that does that to, I mean, that could cause dissension in your own school.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. Or I'm so old that I make no sense. It's one of the two.
Well, let's end it with this, Jim. What would you ultimately, you guys, this group, what would you ultimately want to see here? Do you want it just to go away? What would you tweak with it? What do you want ultimately to happen? Do you want it just to go back to where we're at right now with three classes? What ultimately do you want to see as far as the end game go with this whole proposal?
Well, I can't speak for the other guys. I really can't. I can't speak for them. But when you ask that, you know, look, and I'm being repetitive, so just take it out. But go back and Ryan's got where the schools end up.
Yeah.
So take it and look at it. And then take what I said, if they want four classes, they're working off the wrong end. You know, make a mega class, then divide the other schools up. If they want four classes, and do it by enrollment, because it keeps the majority of the schools with the rivalries, no travel problems, the conferences are not disturbed. So if four classes, just do it like that. They don't do it like that because they don't want to mess with the big schools because they know that's where the most publicity will come from, and they can do enough complaining to kill it. But where do you want it to go? No matter how you do it. I mean, I've been around forever, and the SSAC comes out, and they draw these lines. This is triple A, this is double A, and this is single A. And they do it by enrollment. Everybody knows what the deal is. There's no hidden agenda. There's no hidden, numbers. Are there always going to be smaller schools in every class? Are there always going to be the biggest schools in every class? Yes. That's always been there. But that's just like when they came out this last time and only included 29 tripleways in triple A. And then they had the rest of them in A and double A, which, you know, had them playing six teams in a sectional and so on and so forth. I mean, is there a perfect thing? No. But I have no hidden agenda when I come down through there and draw a line where I divide them by three, however you want to do it. There's no hidden agenda. I don't have to create some fictitious, or not fictitious numbers, but statistically biased numbers to get schools where I want to put them.
Right.
And so... I don't know if that answers you, but
yeah,
it's. But listen, I've been there, and they've drawn that line every place you can draw it, and people live with it.
All right,
they always have. But you start doing everything else, anything else, and you're manipulating, and that's what's going on right now. And because if they just do them by enrollment, those private schools are going to, you know, they're going to stay in Class A.
Yeah.
So, I can't speak for everybody else.
Yeah.
I just know as a coach, when they draw the numbers with enrollment, there I am. Okay, here we go. Let's get a schedule and go play. But there is if let me tell you something. When they talk about some of these smaller schools that have to compete with the private schools, Catholic schools, whatever you want. We all got our problems. I think if they would enforce the Catholic schools school zone, which they have one, all of them do, and if they would stop some of the transferring that's going on for non-academic reasons, it's all athletic. If they'd spend more time investigating that, they would solve some of their problems. But at POCA when we had lost 35 basketball games in a row, and I was the coach of the last five of that row, wasn't nobody making a formula for me. I just had to pull up my pants, go to work, and we started getting some decent players and, you know, poke in football.
Yeah,
they won it in 2001, 2002, 2003. Didn't win another one for four, or didn't have a winning season for 14 years.
Yeah, until this year.
I mean, if you want to go back and look through trends of, you know, schools that have had runs, just like GW's won 11 boys tennis titles, Bridgeport 6 baseball, Martinsburg 7 football. I mean, if you're just troubled because and if you look, the Catholic schools in basketball or the private schools have won more championships in basketball than any other sport. So, if you put A, B, C, and D together, money, no private schools, somebody else a chance to win a championship, we're giving them trophies out, buddy, like they're water. you see what's going on.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody worried about Martinsburg winning 7 football titles or whatever it is. Are we going to do a 5A?
We might.
Let's annex the Panhandle.
Might have to.
I mean, but that's about all the garbage I can give you today. anything else you want to ask me?
No, that's it. I think you covered everything I wanted to know, Jim. Appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today. Good luck to you and your guys there, and it'll be interesting to see what happens here and how this whole thing unfolds.
Well, you also know that something I didn't mention, and I think it's important to mention, that Deborah Sullivan, the former principal at Charleston Catholic, when the SSA proposed this to the state board, she got up and spoke, and she had her stuff together. And over 50, she showed we're over 50% of the schools in all classes had participated in state championships or state tournaments, I would say, in some form. They may not all been football or not all been bat, but over 50% of all the schools have. And so Mr. Dolan, when she said that, he says, well, it's about winning championships. What? What? I mean, you know, I remember the first time we got to the state tournament in soccer, I was in awe. Our people were in awe. It was magnificent. But if it's not about just getting there, then let's don't take 16 football teams and put them in the playoffs. Let's don't take 8 basketball teams in every class. Let's just take 4. If it's not about getting there, if getting there is not important, and again, that's why I go back and say, some of those folks in class, they haven't won a state championship, and so we're going to give them a chance. How exciting was the Webster County story?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
That's about as emotional and as great of a scene and a story that has been in West Virginia high school athletics in years. You know, like I said, I told Ryan, I said, you got to use this quote. I said, it's humorous, but it makes the point. And you got to remember, go back on what I said about the people on that competitive balance committee did not know that basketball was going to be a pilot program.
Yeah.
That's pretty significant. That's pretty significant. And then what I told Ryan was, I said, we can go fishing in Point Pleasant, but they ain't going to tell you about rabbit hunting in Glenville. And that's the way this basketball thing is. What's it going to tell you? It's going to tell you somebody, we're going to make a bunch of money, some other people are going to win championships, and I think when that's over with, they'll just say, okay.
Jim, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate everything that you you said today. I appreciate your honesty, and I gotta run, but I appreciate you very much for giving me time to talk about this.
Take care of yourself, and if you ever want to talk, holler at me.